You are now listening to the all-new Shotgun Sports Podcast with your host, Justin Barker. We talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
If you are looking to purchase Pro-Matic traps, give Rick Hemingway a call. Rick is the largest Pro-Matic dealer in the country and can handle all of your trap needs. His team can provide new and pre-owned units and service that is second to none. And they also have a huge rental fleet, so no job is too big or small. Not only does Rick set and design sporting clays courses, but he also offers turnkey services for skeet, trap, and five stand. Contact Rick today at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466. All right, today we have the founder of the Brain Training Company and developer of the Brainwave Conditioning System. He's also a leading authority on mental fitness training and is an advisor to high-performance individuals, corporations, and top sports personalities. His sports clients have won more than 30 major international titles, including some gold medals. That's pretty good there. Henry, how you doing?
Justin, it's great speaking with you again. I'm well, thank you, in this crazy year. So how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to have you back on. I know you're over there and probably in lockdown right now, aren't you?
Yes. So I'm in England. I'm in the east side of England, and things are changing rapidly over here. Even though it's a small country, we are split into different tier levels, different COVID threat levels, and we're one of the lower levels. London is quite a high level at the moment.
Yeah.
So it just means that they discourage people from traveling to different areas of the country. But it's moving really quickly. We've got this new variant of COVID apparently emerging at the moment. And obviously Christmas, people are wanting to be with families. So
right.
It's been a crazy year.
You know,
but we're well.
I wonder if 2020 is going to be a bad word in the future. You know? I mean, I don't know of anything that's went right in 2020, other than I hadn't caught COVID yet.
There's still 10, 11 days to go, so careful what you say.
That is true.
But yeah, I'm not a superstitious person, but yeah, you sort of look at what's gone on this year and where we were back in, I remember hearing about this back in January time and thinking, oh, this is going to be a little uncomfortable and complicated, but you now look at where we are now. And hey, not to get into politics, but we have Brexit right ahead of us as well. So you're throwing COVID and Brexit right at us. So complicated times, but everyone has a story to tell from the year. So
that's right. You're exactly right. So, you know, the last time I talked to you, we really covered your background. So let's get into your insight in the future. You know, what's going to go on? What do you think is going to go on? But before we get started, I have noticed that you've dropped off the radar a little earlier in the year. Like, I didn't hear much from you or see much from you.
Well, obviously, one of the major things is international travel stopped. I would spend maybe 3-4 months a year in the USA and traveling to other countries. So that absolutely stopped. But at the same time, something which I haven't actually spoken about publicly before, my wife and I have been caring for someone for the last few years, one of our family members with a rare form of dementia, a very aggressive form of dementia, and we took on their primary care for them. So the first part of this year, while the pandemic was getting underway, we were looking after this family member who now is actually in secure and specialist dementia accommodation, which is absolutely the right thing. But my wife and I sort of took ourselves off the radar of it just to look after this family member, which is the right thing to do. And we were out of touch with the industry, but I'm very grateful for my team and the staff at the Brain Training Company, because they absolutely kept the show on the road and kept things going for us during this very, very difficult time. So actually the first half of this year, our world was not really worried about the pandemic and COVID. We were deeply immersed in the world of dementia and how you care for someone with dementia and the evolving situation with that. And that actually going forward will be one of my passions, of actually helping other people care for people with dementia and what I've learned through that. So yeah, I took myself off the radar, and my wife and I were busy with that, but we're now fully back in coaching. And actually the world has changed to enable us to provide coaching, managing without having to get on airplanes all the time, which is what I spent a lot of my time doing in the past.
Yeah. Well, you always find ways to overcome your, you know, what's going on in your life to make it work, you know? So that's what you've done. So is your office still open, or does everybody just work remotely now?
We all now work remotely. We had this lovely historic building as an office, and we shut that down. We shared it with some other businesses as well. And we think actually that we'll probably keep shut down and keep working remotely. It just seems to work very well. We wouldn't have guessed that would have been an option. Who would have seen what was happening this year? So no, our office is actually shut down. We have successfully been working remotely, and technology has, I'd never actually heard of Zoom calls before the pandemic. I don't know if you had heard of that, Justin. Have you heard of Zoom before?
Yeah, I had heard of it. There's a lot of people using it over here. I use Zoom at times, but it works well for what it is. I mean, it works well.
Yeah, I mean, beginning of the year, I hadn't heard of it before. And I heard of other Microsoft Teams and other things that you could do video calls. But the world seems to have adapted to this world of Zoom phone calls and virtual to contact, I suppose. I have people that have been used to going in, friends of mine have been used to going into office buildings every single day, and they have not been into their offices since February, March time this year. And they've said that their companies, their businesses are probably not going to go back to those buildings. So extraordinary times, but the world has adapted very quickly.
It is. Well, you know what the podcast is about. We talk about clay target sports. But the pandemic in the UK and the effect on clay shooting, how's that been over there?
So, one of the things, as lockdown happened, there were restrictions on certain activities which could happen. And when we had our first lockdown, that sporting playgrounds were closed. They were seen as recreational activities. So therefore, tournaments, practice, any of that couldn't happen. That was the sort of the first, I forget the exact dates, that was the first lockdown period. Then everything eased off a bit, and then the sporting playgrounds could open again. So there were some tournaments, and you could go there for practice in small groups. I think we were limited to groups of six at the most. But then we had another lockdown, and everything closed down again. So the actual locations, the facilities for sporting clays were limited. And it's been on and off throughout the year. But there have been some tournaments, there have been some competitions through the year. And in the US, I've also followed the various regionals. So it's been really interesting to see the numbers of people that have been going to the tournaments in the US as well, and to see how that's been affected, and the entries that have been there, and then people pull out at the end. Because obviously, here in the UK, we drive to our tournaments, but in the US, if you've got a regionals, a lot of people are flying as well. And that's, of course, been an issue as well. We haven't been traveling over to what we'd call Europe, I suppose, recently for the European tournaments, because there's a quarantine issue involved, because if you travel overseas, you then have a 14-day quarantine. So the pandemic has it's restricted what everyone has been wanting to do.
Yeah.
Businesses have been forced to be closed. Clay shooting businesses have been forced to be closed at times during the year. So it's been very difficult to say, we will have a tournament, say, on the 1st of August. How does that compare to what's been going on in the U.S.?
It's, you know, it seems like everything was pushed back, like pushed forward, I guess you could say. You know, when all this started, everybody stopped shooting. And, you know, they just had the Southeast Regional last week, and it's December. You know, that doesn't normally happen, but everything was pushed back or forward, whichever way you want to go with it. And it seems to be going fine. I don't know about this, what's going to happen in the future. I hope nothing changes. I hope we can get everything under control, but I'm really not sure what's going to happen in 2021. But, you know, the airports, it's still iffy. You know, the places you go around here are still iffy about wearing masks, about all of that. Where I'm from, nothing's closed. You know, the hours have changed a little bit, but nothing is closed. So the gun clubs are open. You can go shoot when you want. So none of that's really changed. It's back. It feels like it's back to normal as far as gun clubs are concerned.
There's certainly been the enthusiasm to shoot over here at gun clubs. And it's just, if it's been permissible, and that's what we've had, is lots of restrictions of what is allowed. And sporting playgrounds at times have been closed because they haven't been allowed to be open. So that has been frustrating. But I think some coaches have been able to keep working because they've got private facilities as well. Mm-hmm. So if they have been able at times to, as a form of work, and it's not just a social hobby, as a form of employment, they have been able to carry on working. But tournaments certainly and competitions have been very low this year. So fingers crossed, early into next year, we can get back to normality. And actually, I've had a lot of contact with students wanting to prepare and say, well, how do I prepare going back into next year? Because I've had all this time off. And that's probably been the biggest factor, is this has been a totally unexpected time off from shooting. And how do you manage that?
Yeah, well, that kind of brings us to the next topic here. What mental aspects are, you know, all right, so anxiety, stress, health, all that stuff, how does that relate to your mental, you know, your mental well-being during this pandemic? Is it creating anxiety and stress, and is it doing, you know what I mean, being in this lockdown, what is it doing to people? Or what does it do to you, or to me, or you know what I'm saying?
Well, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic thinking, okay, we're going to be locked down, we had our children off school, we're homeschooling. And I had this vision of thinking we're going to be gifted all this spare time where, you know, I could become fluent in Arabic or I could take up some new hobby. But what's been extraordinary is actually the lack of time. It seems as though we actually haven't had much freedom of time. Mm-hmm. There's been so much to get on with. But what I would say on the anxiety and stress side of things is mental health is clearly very high on the agenda right now. This has been very stressful for people. We have family members with COVID right now. It's very stressful. And you're night and day wondering how people are. We have friends in their fit and healthy, in their 40s, who have become very anxious about leaving their homes. Homeschool, any parents out there, homeschooling children, that right. can be challenging. That was stressful for us. So anxiety and stress is certainly much higher on the list. And one of the things I think I have noticed is the quality of sleep, something that's really probably not much appreciated, is actually how important it is to get good quality sleep. And with anxiety and with stress, how we of course, early in the year, caring for a family member with dementia, anxiety and stress is very high because of that. And the quality of sleep decreases tremendously, and that affects your mental health and well-being. And I think if there is something that comes from this pandemic, is actually people's awareness of the importance of looking after their mental health, managing stress, managing anxiety, and also asking for help. That there are people who, previous to the pandemic, would have considered themselves strong, functioning individuals who have perhaps really struggled during this time. And it is important to be able to ask for help and say, I'm actually just not coping right now.
Right.
So we, as a business, have had a significant increase in inquiries, people asking for help on how they can, techniques and tools of what they can do to actually alleviate their problems with anxiety and stress. The world, also, we don't like change. And suddenly, if someone is used to sporting clothes week in, week out, going to work, going to an office, and suddenly that's all changed. You're at home. You can't go to work. You can't shoot. That is an that's we feel slightly out of control. And it does take an effect on our health. And this is something we're all learning, how it affects us individually and it affects everyone differently. And I think one of the things I hope that comes from this pandemic is actually recognizing how we interpret a situation would perhaps be different to how our neighbor might interpret that. And they might have anxiety for something we see as something quite simple. So I hope we have more empathy for our neighbors and friends in their situations that they're in. But certainly anxiety and stress is very, very high on the agenda. And I think one of the biggest legacies of the pandemic will be mental health. And certainly in our own business, away from sporting clays, on our corporate coaching aspect of the business, that is something that we're seeing a significant increase in inquiries about how to look after staff and the well-being of individuals.
Yeah. What kind of opportunities during lockdown periods can you do to help yourself? You know, review basics of your skills. What can you do?
Yes, great question, because that's a positive question. And
right.
And it's looking for the opportunities. Yeah, and that's so good. That's exactly, I totally believe in that, is you need to look for the positives in the negative situation we're in, otherwise we all get dragged down. Right. There are so many opportunities. It could be, obviously, from a mental training perspective, that this is a chance to review what your strategies are, what your systems are. If you have had mental training before, to go back and look at the basics of what your skills are. If you haven't had any mental training before in sporting clays, look at what are your strategies that you do at the moment? Have you been to any tournaments this year? What is your preparation mentally going into that tournament? How do you manage yourself within the squad, whatever the discipline is you're shooting? This is a chance to step back. Now, for some people, this has been enforced on them, that actually they've not been able to go and shoot. And that's actually been, here in the UK, that's a lot of my students have had the problem of, actually, I just can't shoot at all. So what can I do? This is a chance to actually review the basics of your skills. One of the things I've enjoyed since we've had a bit more time in the latter part of the pandemic is actually getting back and reading and researching and looking at what's been other people are talking about. There's a great book I read called The Pressure Principle by Dave Allred. And he's an English guy that trained the English rugby team. And to be able to go and look at some of those books and get material from that has been really, really enjoyable, because I probably wouldn't have had the time to do that before. Within mental training, getting back to your basics of thinking, what are my systems? What are my processes that I do? Do I have people talk about pre-shot routines? You don't need to be out shooting at a range to actually think through what are my systems. I ask a lot of people to write down, before I start working with people, I say, write down what are your existing systems? What strategies do you have? What are you doing from a physiology? What is the sequence that you do? A lot of people actually don't examine that. And that's one of the most simplest things you can do is say, if you're, let's say, shooting sporting or fit ass, when you step into the cage or you step in the hoop, what is your sequence? Do you plan the target? Do you visualize the target? Do you take a breath? Do you relax your shoulders? What are you doing with your eyes? All of these things should go in a sequence because you're wanting consistency. And actually examining that and actually breaking it down and writing it down is a great thing you can do if you're stuck at home, to actually write these down and examine it. And then I'm always happy with people to go through and say, you could change, let's say, step three, put that into step two, because it would be better to have it there because it works better with your brain. So I work more on the neurology. I'm not a, as I've said before, and when we spoke before, Justin, that I'm not a psychologist, but I'm actually a psychophysiologist. So I look at the interaction between what you're doing with your body and your brain. So I look at the sequence of things and processes.
Right.
But this is a time very much just for review, and you can look, you can, writing your sequences down is a very powerful technique.
Let me ask you this. If someone was really, really strong mentally a year ago, and they have been, they haven't been shooting, they haven't been doing much because of what's going on, do you think their mental game has fell off, or does it stay where it's at? How does that work?
Which is that great, great, great question, because I think most of us would think, if you're not out there competing, and for those people that haven't been able to train, your game's going to fall off.
Right.
What's been really surprising is actually how people's games more often than not have improved. And I've been really surprised by that. By having this enforced break, people have been, very concerned and thinking their game's going to fall down, so fall apart and not be as strong. But actually what's happened is they've come back when they have been able to shoot and they've had maybe had that enforced 2 month break, they're stronger than they were before.
Wow.
And I think that's something we need to take forward, is we can't remain at the peak of our game all the time. And taking a break can be really healthy. I think what I've seen with my own students is, yes, they've come back and they are just as strong, but there has been a lot of concern, a lot of anxiety about how to get back into their game, how to get back into the sport. And the expectation has been that they won't be shooting as well as they were before. And that's totally surprised me, because those that have gone out to a few tournaments, and that's in Australia, the US and the UK, they have not had a significant drop off in performance. And that's been really surprising.
Yeah. Well, you would just think it would change. I mean, you know, you just think it would.
You would think if you're not practicing, yeah, that it would decrease.
Yeah.
But actually, what's been really interesting, I think it's a lesson going forward, is that taking that time out can actually be really healthy, a positive thing. It hasn't felt very positive to all of us because we've wanted to go out and shoot, wanted to go out and compete. But actually, it's been really healthy, because I think, certainly when I'm with my own students, when I'm working with people, you dive deep into components of the game, and you're really putting aspects of their performance under the microscope. And it's important to sometimes step back from that. And this is what's happened with the pandemic. It's forced us to sometimes step back from our games. We can't shoot. And I was speaking with a lady just last week, and she was really concerned about getting back in because she hadn't shot for 5 months. And there's anxiety involved with that, but actually performance hasn't decreased. Or you could say maybe everyone's performance has decreased together. But
yeah, that's right.
I think the other thing I'd like to say is there will be many people looking to come back into sporting clays after a break.
Right.
And managing your expectations and not going right back to where you felt you were before is really important. Not expecting to go to your top level, even though you may perform very well. It's actually about what are the small steps do I need to go through to rebuild my game? What are the basics with my game? And what I'm doing at the moment with a lot of people is actually working on the basics of their game rather than going and shooting the top pro level targets. What are the basics they need to work through? And actually working with technical coaches as well. Just reinforcing those basics and going back into it. Managing expectations is so important. Because with the other slight tangent here, but the other thing is people are slightly cautious about being around other people on the course. Mm-hmm. That's another dynamic we hadn't had before.
Yeah.
It gives you anxiety. Right. So you're in a squad. You want to watch the show targets, but you don't want to be too close to the people around you. So there's lots of other dynamics going on here, but it's about just going cautiously and carefully, rebuilding your game, not expecting to be at the top of your game.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anyone of all of my students that have had a significant decrease by taking any time off.
Yeah.
During all of this.
Well, that's good. You know, there's one thing with, you know, we're talking about clay shooting with when it's slimming down because of what's going on. There's another thing that is picking up, and that's esports. And esports is for those of you who don't know, you know, video games. We've had NASCAR races on esports. You know, you turn on the TV and these guys are racing NASCAR races from their house, and they're in some video game or some chair that with a screen in front of them, and the Xbox, the PlayStation, all of that stuff is really spiked. iPads, and there's a bunch of sales. I mean, it's crazy. If you go and look at what esports is doing right now, it's unbelievable. And it's not, you know, you've got NFL, you've got the MLB, you've got different sports. Well, esports is up there with them. And you know, you and I were talking. I mean, how do you do that with clay shooting? Can you?
Well, I'm hoping that the amount of time that my two boys have invested into playing online various games, that they are going to become esports champions.
yeah, mine too.
But what I would say is that I'm closely involved with Formula One racing.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is how actually that has become the esports side of Formula One racing has become a very, very big business. Esports as a whole is a multi-billion dollar business. But I follow particularly the Formula One side of things and how the professional, should we call it the real world races,
right,
during the pandemic, the early part of the pandemic, were actually doing the online racing. And it's a huge business there. I wonder, you know, that there are esports. Yes, there are the usual sort of shoot 'em up type of games where you work as teams.
Right.
And will there be a sporting clay form of esports? I'm pretty sure there will be.
Really.
And we will have teams. you will be competing online. I mean, already there are apps that you can have clay shooting online. They're very basic at the moment, but with the competitive side of how esports are developing, that I think sporting clays will be part of esports within the next 18 months or so, and we will have national competitions within that as well. But it is quite incredible the dedication to teams. They have their own houses. They are on salaries. They have physical trainers. They have mental trainers. I'm involved in that side for some teams as well. It's a huge, huge industry. And I think during the pandemic, esports has also taken off because people have been watching it. I think there are, the numbers off the top of my head, they're not entirely accurate, but there are something like 200 million people who watch esports. I think that's what the audience is. And there are 400 million people who are aware and sort of in some way connected to esports. It's a huge number. I mean, how many people in sporting clays do we have involved? I mean, it's just, you look at the numbers that are involved. So I think, yes, there will be sporting clay esport competitions in the future. And it's really interesting to see, because I'm working in some of the more the shoot 'em up type games is where I'm coaching some teams.
So you mean you're coaching like, you're saying shoot 'em up games. You're talking about like games that kids play? Like it's, you're talking about a game?
Yeah, I mean, these are people that are employed on staff, and they are teenagers. And they're not just individuals sat in their home. They are provided with accommodation, and this is a very professional outfit. They are on a salary. They have an income, and wow. it's a huge industry, because the prize money is massive as well. There are, you know, $1 million prize money competitions, and it is global, because it's not like going to watch. I suppose if you think of where here in the UK, the Premier League football or soccer,
yeah,
or in the US football, the money involved in that, people watching that and supporting their teams, that is what's evolving within esports. And you have people playing particular games, and you have particular teams, and you support them. But that's, I think, amazing. Sporting Clays will be the next one that comes on. There's nothing that I know. There's no one that's actually working on that directly at the moment. But I think it's very, where the technology is that I see it very, it could even be not just with a handset controller like an Xbox or a PlayStation. If you think of the systems that are out there with the laser dots in the end of your shotgun, without naming any sort of particular names, you know, there are some training tools where you can actually aim the shotgun at a projected target.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking that.
That's an esport right there.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
So we haven't, you know, we had the World Fit Ask within the last month or so.
Right.
And many people weren't able to and didn't want to travel to the US for that. Uh-huh. But imagine if we still had the World Fit Ask, but we had the team at EJ Churchill competing against a green screen, and you had the team in the US and all the other teams around the world. That's, we're so close to that happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely possible. Yeah. It's because the technology, because people are using the laser dot technology for training, because you can have it fixed into your gun with a trigger. You can see where you hit or miss. So that's seen as accurate. So why couldn't we both shoot the same targets whilst you're 3,000 miles away in the US and we're here in the UK, or, you know, 10,000 miles in Australia? That's the future of esports in sporting clays.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There's a business idea for you. You're going to go and run with that.
I'm not going to get into that, but that is very interesting. You know, thinking, if you really sit back and think about that kind of stuff, a lot of this technology is already available, and somebody just has to figure out how to put it all together and make it work, you know?
Technology, that's something I would say is one of the things that's occurred during this difficult year is the use of technology. And yes, in esports, yes, we are maybe comfortable with Zoom phone calls. This time last year, I had many students that wouldn't want to work with me on Zoom phone calls, let's say, because they wanted to wait for me when I'd come to Texas or South Carolina, or go to Australia. They wanted to meet me in person. But now everyone seems to be very comfortable with Zoom phone calls.
Right.
Technology has advanced so quickly, and it's actually kept us so much more connected. Even with my own world, my own business, that I'm obviously interested in brain technology, there is technology of where you could be sat at your computer, as you are now, perhaps, and I can see your brainwaves on my screen right now. I can see your stress levels. I can see your ability to focus. I can see your ability to relax. And it's instant. So technology this year has probably got into, we're using a lot more technology to make our lives easier in a remote world. And certainly in my own world, with Zoom phone calls, and I can provide you with a brainwave measuring headset, I can see how good you are at concentrating or relaxing. I can set you up with a training program, like you going to the gym and lifting weights. I can set you up with a training program to improve your concentration or to improve your relaxation as well, your ability to relax. That can all be done remotely, and that's because of the advancements in technology. So there are many, many positives from this year. Whilst it has been a difficult year for many of us, we are actually much closer connected because we feel more comfortable using technology.
So if someone wants to do this program with you, you actually send them a headset to wear, and you can see it on your computer.
Yep. All that's of my training at the moment is all done remotely. And despite the challenges of the earlier part of the year where I wasn't actively engaged with the business, now the challenges have been I haven't been able to get on an airplane to different countries, the US, as I normally have done, missing US nationals, regionals, and all these lovely events which I'd normally go to.
Yeah.
But now what can happen is I send various pieces of technology to people, very easy to use, and I can fully interact with that person through Zoom, through video calls, but also measuring their brainwaves. So I can actually see, at the moment I have two different students, a really good example. I have one person that is so relaxed, they have problems with concentration. I have another person that is so amped up and so anxious that they're at the opposite end of the spectrum. So I can individually, they have different training protocols. I can teach one person, the more relaxed person, how to increase their focus. The person that has more problems with anxiety, they have a training protocol of how they can learn to relax. So it's daily exercises that you go through for about 60 days, and it takes about 15 to 20 minutes a day. I suppose it does vary, but about 15 to 20 minutes a day, you go through these training exercises. It's something called neurofeedback, where imagine you are looking at your computer screen at the moment, and that something very simple I can do is you will only see what's on your computer screen when you're focused. If you're not focused, your computer screen will fade out. You can't see it. You could be watching a video. You could be watching Netflix or YouTube. You can only see that video when you are focused. If you're not focused, it will disappear.
What do you mean disappear?
That is a...
What do you mean?
As in the screen goes black. So you're watching a video. Let's say you're watching a YouTube video on sporting plays,
right?
And you're watching some targets, and if you are not focused, that screen will just go black. You can't see anything. So it makes you work hard to try to remain focused. It could be, I can also set it so that if someone's trying to learn how to be more relaxed and get rid of anxiety, that they might be listening to some music, and the music plays, the relaxing music plays whilst they're relaxed. But if they start actively thinking too much, the music starts to fade out. And that is a prompt to get them to then re-engage with what they should be doing.
Gotcha.
So that's called neurofeedback. It's like, we call it the biofeedback, which is where if you just, a very basic thing, you put your fingers on your wrist and you feel your heart rate, you can try to adjust your heart rate because you feel it. Maybe you try to breathe slower.
Right.
To try to slow down your heart rate. With neurofeedback, what we're doing here is, and this is remote neurofeedback, is that if you're, what I'm trying to do is give you positive reward at all times. So if I set it so that you're wanting to increase your concentration, when you are concentrated, then the screen will stay clear and you can watch the video or you get the feedback or you can play a computer game. But the moment that you lose that concentration, the screen fades out. You can't see that computer game or the computer game stops. Yeah. I do this with my own children at home.
Really?
So they have various games they can play on their iPads, and they wear this headset, and they like the Space Invader games, mm-hmm. and they can only shoot the aliens when they're focused. If they lose focus, mental focus, they can't shoot the aliens. So it's a fun way of learning mental control. So, yes, technology this year has allowed us to do so many different things of interacting with people. The other thing that people do every week is they send me videos of them shooting as well, because most of us have smartphones now. Probably most people listening to this episode have a smartphone. Right. They have the ability to be able to record themselves shooting. So I've had skeet shooters, trap shooters, sporting shooters send me videos of them shooting so I can critique the physiology of what they're doing. It's just so simple nowadays with technology. So I think whilst we might feel separated in a pandemic, actually we are a lot closer. We have the technology to be a lot closer.
Yeah.
But I do hope it's not too long until I get to actually get on a plane and come back to the US.
Yeah, you kind of still want to go back the way it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I miss my friends. I mean, really, really miss the connection with people. I think, you know, we need that human connection. And I've really, so many friends in the US just miss seeing people. But what's been interesting is that, as I say, work with people in Asia, Australia. They were perhaps waiting for me to come to those areas of the world, which obviously I'm not going to be doing in the next probably year. So the online training has worked really well, and actually with great success as well, because the tournaments people have been able to go to, I've been really pleased to see the results have been successful.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that, you know, taking a break and some of these people are coming back just as strong as they were. Why is that? What is the benefit in taking a break? What does that do to help you?
I think with all sports, that you look at it in peaks and troughs, and it's very difficult to maintain your top level performance and maintain that top level performance. You might win a gold medal one year. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be the world champion the next year. Mm-hmm. You might actually totally fall off a cliff and have a terrible year after that. That's very typical across all sports. And I think when people are pushing and training, that they're constantly looking in the detail of their game, and there is a level of burnout that happens. I remember it's quite a few years ago. I can't put my fingers on or name the exact date. There was a really long sporting clay season because we had, I think it was the World Fitask or the World Sporting was out in Australia early in the year. So it's like February, early in the year. But then you're carrying all the way through to, say, nationals in end of October. That's a really, really long season to be at the peak of your game. And that was the first year it actually dawned on me that people cannot be at the peak of their game throughout a long season, let's say from February to October. So what's happened with the pandemic, we've had this enforced time off, and we've seen how, actually, don't be fearful of that. That's actually been a really good thing. People have stepped back from their game because we get too immersed in the detail of refining our game. And sometimes we need to step back and just have trust. It's a big word I've been using in the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks with people. It's about trust. Trust of their systems, trust of their technique. And there's a lot of lack of trust because people are cautious because they haven't been shooting, so they don't have trust in their game. But I think what I would recommend is going forward into the years ahead is that everyone considers the peaks of where they're trying to perform at their best. Typically, it might be for a world championship or a World Cup. But within that, factoring in some time off, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, go fishing, go do something else. Because it gets you to step back from the detail of what you've been working on. And then the trust comes back. So you look at the whole system. You're working just on your whole game rather than the components within your game. And I was really surprised, actually, this year. I thought people's performance would drop off. But it hasn't, from what I've seen.
Yeah.
That taking the break actually has been beneficial. And it's a long, for some people, it's a really long break. It's like a five-month break. But your game doesn't disappear overnight. And stepping back from it can be very healthy. And I would encourage people going forward that taking time away from their training in a planned way. So you peak, as I say, for a world championship or a World Cup, but then planning to take that time off afterwards, even for a couple of weeks, can be a great thing. I always remember Ed Solomon's in 2000, might be wrong in my dates, but 2013, when he won the World Fitass. He took a two-week holiday beforehand. He didn't shoot for 2 weeks before. It was just taking a vacation. But then he went into the World Fitass and he won it. And I think there's a lot of merit for that. Rather than pushing too hard, something I'm always set against is the US Nationals at San Antonio. I always hear people having a great time going to 74 Ranch beforehand, right, just south of San Antonio. But they push the really, really big, hard targets. And it's great fun. I understand that. But often for many people, pushing the hard, big targets, really working on those hard, big targets can actually demoralize you going into a tournament, unless you're one of the top pros.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, that time, that week before, that 10 days before, should actually be about easing off, not pushing your training to the absolute limits. Actually taking that, in that context, that small break before going to a big event can then mean you turn up fresh and you're ready for the tournament with the confidence. As I said earlier, one of the things I've looked at is over the pandemic is quality of sleep and how important it is to make sure that you are well rested and that you are not fatigued going into an event. Those are the things which are important.
Henry, how does someone know if they're well rested? How do you know that?
So there is something I've looked at this year. There's a really interesting technology. Have you heard of the Whoop band? WHOOP?
Yes, I've actually heard of that. Yes.
Okay. So it looks at heart rate variability. And it basically monitors the level of strain you have in your day. Now, that typically can be through physical exertion. And it also looks at the quality of your sleep. And looking at something like HRV, heart rate variability, it's how well primed you are to perform the next day or that day. So there are physiological measurements which can say how well rested you are. We all know what it's like, I think, to have a bad night's sleep, and we just don't feel great the next day.
Right.
And some nights you have a really good quality sleep. It might not be a lengthy sleep. It might only be like 6 to 7 hours, but you feel really refreshed, and you wake up, and you feel fresh. That can be correlated to HRV. What's interesting about the Whoop band is it also correlates with activities in our life. So it will look at how much physical training you've done. It will ask, have you consumed alcohol? Have you looked at iPhone screen, the blue screen before going to bed? Because that will affect your sleep. So every month you get a report of what activities improve your recovery and what activities are detrimental to your recovery. So what I found really interesting within this is, firstly, there is no positive reason to drink alcohol. But also eating meat as well. And I'm not a vegan or vegetarian, but actually eating meat. The days that I ate meat in the evening, my recovery is less. And I love meat. I have a Traeger. I smoke brisket. So I'm a full meat eater. Hydration, that's another thing. Have you hydrated correctly? That affects it. I take a magnesium supplement before going to sleep at night. I know that improves the quality of my sleep and the recovery. So using something like the Whoop Band, it actually, you learn what works for you and also what works against your recovery as well. So in my own coaching, I talk about competition management. This is the run-up to what you do to a tournament. It could be someone making sure their email inbox is as empty as possible. They've answered all the emails. They've prepared their food. They're not just relying on the bad tacos served at the club on the day. They've got the food that they want to eat. They've got a restaurant reservation at the time they want to eat. That's all the planning. That's involved in the recovery phase, the non-shooting phase. But there is, with technology, something like Whoop Band. I mean, and lots of people wear smart watches. It could be the Apple Watch. It could be Fitbits. They're all giving data. But something like the Whoop Band actually gives specific recovery information. And I would encourage anyone to look into that. I actually run a team within the Whoop Band. With my students, I actually have a team so we can actually see each other's data and I can help them adjust what they need to be doing and changing within their own life to maximize their recovery. So within my own programs, I have people working with the Whoop Band and learning their input. But yeah, sadly for me, the disappointing thing was that meat is not good for recovery. So all the briskets and pulled pork and all of those things. And I blame Will Fennell for that, because we had a hurricane lockdown a few years ago. And I was with Will at the Fennell Shooting School and we fired up the smoker. And we were doing Boston butts and all sorts of stuff out there. So he got me into the whole smoking thing. So now back in the UK, I got myself a Traeger, which was actually recommended by Adam Blair. So I'm a fully converted sort of meat eater, smoker guy. But sadly, the Whoop data says it's not good for me.
It's good, though.
Everything in moderation.
It's good, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you're talking about that Whoop Band. I was at a shoot. I was shooting in Tennessee somewhere and walked up to a guy. And I noticed he had some weird-looking bracelet on. And it don't look bad if anybody goes to look at these things. And I asked, I said, what is that on your arm? And he said, it's a Whoop Band. And he went into telling me basically what you just said. And I thought that was interesting. But I didn't know that you recommended using those. I just thought it was another fad or something. I didn't know that they really worked.
I'm very much a data guy. I like tangible data. Everything within my world of neurology is about measurable data. I measure brainwaves. I'm not really the sort of the psychology guy. Obviously, there's lots of benefits to that aspect, but the just general chat and the self-talk, that's not really my field. I really do like data, and the Whoop Band provides data. The brainwave equipment provides data. You know exactly what your mental state is through the brainwave equipment. Through the Whoop Band, you know exactly what your recovery is, and you know what, there's no arguing that. What I find fascinating is you can have one glass of red wine or you have half a bottle of red wine. Both are just as bad. You just can't have anything. I laugh with a friend. You can't even justify the bottle of beer, which is just so frustrating. But the data's there.
Yeah. You got to be honest with it for it to make, give you true
with all of this. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you also need to look at the situation. So what was interesting earlier this year, when my wife and I were providing dementia care, it's very, very intense and very stressful and lack of sleep for us. We were working 20 hours out of 24 hours. And the effect of something like that and how that affects you physically and mentally, it's being aware of your situation around you and how you can't expect to function being honest and saying, okay, well, I'm not expecting to be at my peak. I'm just looking to survive. Mm-hmm. And with all of these things, it's okay. If you're going to, let's say in sporting clothes, you're going to a tournament, are you looking to be at your peak or are you just going to compete? And sometimes just going to compete is okay rather than being at your peak. One of the big things I'm into at the moment with my students is actually the quality of practice. And people, and they might put a few tournaments through the year on a pedestal. They say, this year I want to, let's say, perform really well at the US Open and Nationals. And that's all they want to do. But it puts it so much on a pedestal that they're not actually getting the experience of competition. Mm-hmm. So going out and experiencing competition is so important to allow you to perform well at the US Open and at Nationals as well. And that's something actually from the pandemic. We've had here in the UK, and to an extent in the US, I expect, that limited tournaments to go to. And we need to get back into that cycle of just go out, just get used to going out, get used to wearing masks if that's what people need, or get used to wearing or having social distancing at tournaments. Expose yourselves to these as much as possible and as what is safe. You just say, I'm going to go to the 2021, people are talking about the World Fitness in Hungary next year. And they're saying, right, that's the one event I want to do. But you have to expose yourself to the tournament environment to be ready to go to these other places as well. So it's the preparation for these, which is so important.
So going into the new year, what's your plans? Mm. What are you doing? What's the brain training company going to do?
Yeah, so whilst we have our stories of challenges, and it's actually really exciting going next year because, as I said earlier, with technology, how we now can help people anywhere in the world improve their mental game in all sports as well. And we've also, something I didn't mention before, we're actually looking at producing various apps. We've got some apps online coming through into next year. So rather than sort of traditional email or phone contact, it's all going to be done through apps. But this remote world has actually been a huge benefit for us because the world has shifted to accepting the fact of Zoom phone calls, working remotely using technology. So next year we have programs happening where we can put people through a 12-week training program remotely from the comfort of your own home. I used to love working with people, I still do, but you know, working with people in person, coming to me here in the UK all the times when I come to the US, and that was the basis of the business. But now we actually have a 12-week program where wherever you are in the world, you can go through the same full program. I can monitor your brainwaves from here in the east of England, and I can train and help you improve your focus, your concentration, manage the anxiety, work on pre-shot routines. We can do video analysis together on the same screen. So it's very, very exciting. And I think for all of us, we need to be looking at the positives of what we're going forward into next year. It's a little bit of an unknown. We don't know what's happening January, February after Christmas. But even if people can't travel or sporting playgrounds aren't open or work with coaches, we can still train people. And that's the benefit that's come from this uncomfortable year is to be able to work with people remotely just as effectively.
And
I think 2021 is going to be really positive.
You're not just working with athletes, you work with anybody, right?
Yeah, actually, yes, you're absolutely right. So the corporate coaching side, I work with organizations who deal, so I work with a lot of high pressure situations or high pressure environments. Within that, this year, the banking sector, investment banking traders, I have a number of organizations I work with, and I provide programs to organizations because they need to look after the mental health and well-being of their staff. Mm-hmm. There are actually some airline, even though airline industry is in a decrease, airline industry, the stress that they're under. I have some contracts I'm working with at the moment. So yes, it's varied away from just sporting players and sport. Anything which is high pressure environment. And it's interesting seeing different countries adopting more readily than others. I've actually got quite a lot happening in Eastern Europe at the moment. They seem to be really aware of mental health and well-being of staff within organizations. And so I'm doing a lot over there. And I don't know when exactly I'll be able to return to the US and when my next travels will be. But certainly away from sporting plays, it is corporate coaching as well as the athletic environment. Because, of course, we missed 2020 Tokyo Olympics this year.
Right.
That's another thing that happened. So
I was kind of excited about that, too.
But lots of exciting... yeah, I know. And lots of exciting things that we have for the coming year to help people both in sport, corporate, homeschooling. We experienced that directly, looking after, trying to... I remember one day our homeschool opened at 9 a.m. and it closed at 9:03 because the teachers were shouting at the children. So we know how difficult homeschooling can be. Within the brain training company, that we've got memory products coming through, we've got some reading products coming through, children with ADD, ADHD, which is obviously my background, we've got homeschooling technology for those areas as well.
So you can help kids with ADHD or ADD or whatever it's called?
Yes, because of the remote neurofeedback, which is my core training originally, ADD and ADHD, looking from a brainwave perspective, that normally you would go and have neurofeedback in a clinic. You would need to actually go to a clinic, but this can now be provided totally remotely through what we're doing at the Brain Training Company.
Wow, that's amazing. And that's your website too, right? TheBrainTrainingCompany.com?
Yeah, TheBrainTrainingCompany.com is the overall website. And then also if you look for GetMentalEdge.com, that sort of targets in onto sport and plays and some specific information. There's some free videos on there as well. Sign up for the newsletter because we'll be sending some information about some of the apps that we have coming out. And we're always really keen just to interact with people, ask questions, and just send through to the team in the office. Well, I say the office, everyone's working at home, but send through to the team any questions you might have. We're always really happy to help people out on any area.
Well, there's one thing about it is the mind is what guides everything, and that's what's in control of you is your mind. And if it's not right, then a lot of things probably won't be right. And I'm glad that you're able to see into people's minds and see what they can be doing to help themselves.
And the one thing I'd say just in closing is for everyone to try to be more aware of how they feel and to be honest with themselves about how they are. I think over this last year, it's been concerning that we're in a different mental state or place to where we're used to being. And that's okay to feel uncomfortable, but sometimes, just let other people know that you might discover that you're not great at being isolated. Some people really thrive at being isolated, but other people don't. And there are the way we react to this very unique situation. It's important that we have awareness of that. And that, within the coaching, I talk a lot about self-awareness, but actually just in our daily lives, just being aware of sometimes just we are a bit burnt out. Don't go out and shoot this week. Or maybe we need just to take more time out to focus on sleep, exercise, health. That awareness is really important. And we're in uncharted waters at the moment, and be kind to yourself would be the message I would say to everyone. Just be kind to yourself that Don't be too hard on yourself. You can't compare where you are this year to where you were last year. But there are immense opportunities to learn about yourself and to help other people during this time as well.
Yep. And
we'd love to be part of that with everyone.
That's right. Well, contact Henry Hopkins and his team on their website. I'm assuming you got forms and stuff they can fill out to be able to email you. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And you can just you can go to thebraintrainingcompany.com, and all the staff are there ready to wait, sort of to help you out. We even have members of staff with COVID at the moment as well. So, you know, life is complex, but we're fully operational. We just look forward to helping everyone towards a really, let's make 2021 such a contrast and a positive to 2020.
Please do. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on with us. I know you have things to do, I'd like to do another episode with you in the future about just dig into some more stuff and maybe find out a few more tips from you.
Yeah, I'd love to get into some specifics about as we get into next season, what we can be doing through the season to prepare. So thanks for having me back again.
Yeah, man, thank you for coming on, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care. All right.